about. You gotta put it in
perspective. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the Fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo, 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 Galileo Figaro Magnifico.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
As Florence Machine says, the dog days are over.
The dog days of summer are over.
No, the dog days are over, Mom.
Are they?
Yep.
I like it.
What does that even mean?
I need you to make me a sign.
You want to make a sign with the words? Or please print legibly.
Wait a minute. What if my name was?
Is your name?
For the sake of this argument, yes, it is.
Okay, well, I'll make whatever sign you like, Mr.
Oh, please call me.
How are you, Marisol?
Hi, good morning.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
23.
And what celebrity do you most resemble?
I don't know, Mexican?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Catch me outside.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ugh, white people.
Roll another one.
I'm a sex addict.
Just like the other one.
Thank you, but no, it sounds boring.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Don't count out greatness.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
It's our time to shine. Lick my eye.
Roll another one.
This is bonkers.
Just like the other one.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
This one seems to be about.
I'm sorry for the realness.
I don't have another cent.
They don't care whatever it is that you're selling here.
I'm not buying it.
But don't bogart that joint.
You can't polish this turd.
Just pass it around.
Hey, at least we're alive.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Little House on the Prairie, because it's rad.
But just pass it.
Just being haters.
What's a hater?
It was just something people say instead of working to change their own flaws.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a... Say it with me.
Friday!
Yay!
It's the 11th of August. Hey, kids.
Hi, Bean.
Hey, Bean.
Kevin still work here?
I think he does. Okay. Not today. But I think he'll be back Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just checking. Chip, she work here?
I believe she does. I think she's back Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
She's partying with Blink 182 last night.
But Sturgis. Christine, she quit, right?
No, Christine was back yesterday.
Oh, so she's back. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're dangerously close then. I mean, in our sights, a full staff again.
Maybe. Yeah.
That'd be nice. How's everybody doing this Friday?
Real good.
Really? Allie, you have a new spirit animal. I know how excited you are. Betty True is your savior and Lord, right?
I have done a deep dive on Betty, what makes her the way she is. And I think she's the hero that none of us knew we needed. And she's amazing.
Now, I know a little bit about Betty, probably not as much as you do.
Yeah.
For folks who don't recognize the name Betty True, she is perhaps better known now as the Rally Granny.
Yes.
July 8th, I want to say, she was at a Dodgers game at Dodger Stadium against the Royals. And did you hear this? I heard it was her first ever Dodgers game.
Yeah, she lives in Arizona, and her son, who's 66, took his 85-year-old mother to the game.
She's a lifelong fan, though, has supported the team her whole life, yet had never been to a game. And the game that she goes to, they put her up on the Jumbotron, the big screen. And she just shakes what she got, man.
Yeah, she
and
does.
Fans just went crazy for her. She, how many 85-year-olds would ever even think to flash a crowd when they're on a camera like that at a sporting event?
I don't know any. at all that would do that. But I also have to say, Betty looks pretty damn good for 85. For 65, she looks great.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Betty, feel free.
She's
just live it.
She's 85 years old. Her husband, Mark, died of lung cancer at 83 about 7 years ago. They were married for nearly 50 years together. And they lived, apparently, a life where they were a couple who believed in squeezing every last drop out of every last day.
Yeah.
They did tons of traveling. They went to Brazil. They went to Nigeria. They went to the Canary Islands. Every night they would have they would toast to each other and their lives. And, in fact, she had a margarita that night at Dodger Stadium and made a toast to her late husband while she was there. So, I mean, it's one of these deals where he may be gone, but they're still together, that kind of a deal. So she flashes. Were you watching that game, by the way, Muggs? Did you happen to see it when it happened?
No.
How about your mom?
She probably turned it off.
No, they were down by then.
Oh, they were down. Yeah. That's right. Of course they're down to the road. So she flashes the camera, and the crowd goes berserk. And the next thing you know, the Dodgers rally. I think they walked in Cody Bellinger for the winning run or something.
Yeah.
Right? So she just became a sensation. And I don't think she's been back to Dodger Stadium yet. She did go to see the Dodgers again in San Francisco because she's living near Fresno now.
Okay,
near some family members near Fresno. So she did go and see and wore her Rally Granny T-shirt and rooted them on in San Francisco. And she's just become, I mean, everything about this Dodgers season, and by the way, they won again last night.
Yeah.
Everything about this season just seems to be magic, and it just seems to be fun, and things like this keep happening.
Yeah, Betty fits right in.
Yeah, she really does. So yesterday, Allie sent us an interview that the Rally Granny did, and her personality is every bit as much awesome as you would expect.
That's just the way I am. If they've got a camera on me and they're wanting me to clown around like the crowd was encouraging me, I'd already been on the camera earlier, and all I got to do was raise my arms and show my underarm dangle. And by golly,
underarm dangle.
I mean,
most ladies may be aware of that. Rarely do they call attention to it in a television interview.
And by golly, when they locked in on me again, I thought, well, this is the time to show my cruise moves.
Okay, her cruise moves. That's
yeah,
what she refers to as her dancing ability.
Yeah, you know when you're on a cruise and you just shake what your mama gave you. Those are her cruise moves.
Okay, all right. By the way, I love her as well. Partly because she uses the expression "by golly,"
yes.
I think that's so. She's definitely my kind of lady.
Which is a bunch of bumping and grinding, and that's all I know how to do. I can't dance worth a damn. And then the crowd was going crazy, and so I figured, well, I'll just really give them a little treat here, and I just flashed them. Corey walked in on for the final run because the bases were loaded, and I figure it's because my magnificent breasts had probably blinded the Royals pitchers and they weren't able to find home plate anymore.
Unbelievable. She's the best.
She's pretty awesome.
And the fact that Bellinger is the one that coined Rally Granny is the best. Everything about this story is just magic.
Is delightful.
So if they win this year, they win it all, it's on
her. Rally Granny. Yeah. For sure.
I mean, I think they need to figure out a way to get her to come down for some of the playoff games. I'll tell you that. 100%. Can't have her sitting at home watching him in Fresno.
No.
Need her there. So, anyway, there you go. That's our new friend Betty True. Let's Dave, if you're listening or awake even, perhaps we get Miss True on the phone. That would be lovely to have her on the show maybe next week, I think. Don't you?
I love her.
All right. Dave's in. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Tina, come get some ham.
I don't know about that, Kevin, but I do know it is Friday, and that means we've got the Movie Beat on the program today, and about a half an hour or so, Ralph will be here to talk about what our options are for the weekend. More on the Bruce Springsteen Broadway residency today, which I'm very excited about. Yes. We have a former intern on the Kevin and Bean show who out of the blue emailed me yesterday and told me that she got scolded, my word, not hers, for dancing at a Lady Gaga concert.
Wow, how bad is she at dancing?
That's, you know what? That could be part of it.
Yeah.
We're going to find out. We'll talk to her and find out what the deal is. There's a lot of controversy about the new images and trailer being released from the next Star Wars movie. Not everybody in the Star Wars universe is happy about some of the things they are seeing.
Come on.
We'll talk about that. Also, has Ticketmaster finally figured out a way to beat the scalpers? There's some good news on that front that we'll tell you about. And I'm telling you, twice a year when we do April Fool, well, three times really, April Foolishness, Weenie Roast, Acoustic Christmas, How long after the tickets go on sale do we start getting emails from people going, man, I can't believe it's sold out. It's been 40 seconds, but look at all these that are for sale on Craigslist already.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It does feel like the regular guy can't buy tickets to anything anymore because they all go to the scalpers. What's Ticketmaster doing about it? They've been working on it for a long time. They may have finally solved it. We'll find out more about that later on today. And Allie, one of your favorites, Catherine Ryan, on the show today.
I love her.
She's very funny.
Yeah.
Comedian, going to be joining us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour. Stan Lee on the program today.
What?
Come on with the come on. It's too much show. And we'll play any K-Rock song you want ever with Keep It 100 coming up just after 9. All of that plus the Showbiz Beat with Ralph right after this on K-Rock. LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ at 5:53. Hey, Ralph Garman.
What happened?
What's going on?
I don't know.
What?
Something sounded weird.
What's weird?
Was that me? Is it my headphones? My headphones, sorry.
I wasn't listening.
Something's acting up.
I think we're good. I think everything's all right.
That's what you think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm usually the last to know.
Not on this end, man.
Hey, anything interesting going on?
How about show business news? How about that? That's interesting to a lot of people.
I would enjoy that.
Right? Like Megyn Kelly. She's not making any friends over there at NBC.
Not getting any viewers either.
No, she's not. And that's why a lot of people who work at the network are a little cheesed off. That she travels around in a private jet with a 5 to 6 person entourage that includes a hairstylist, a makeup artist, a publicist, and her own security guard.
And didn't she get a crazy salary to go to NBC? I mean, $10 million a year or something crazy like that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why folks who work over there at NBC in the news division are outraged and wondering when the big wigs will stop throwing money at her, considering she is getting no ratings. And did you know she hosts the 9 a.m. hour of Today Show?
I know she was going to. Has that debuted?
I believe it has.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, I thought that was in the fall.
Maybe it says here she's promoting that, so
okay.
Maybe she's trying to drum up interest.
Yeah, she was going to basically kick out the other 9 o'clock people. That's why one of them left. Said enough.
Right.
But wow, after her debut on Sunday nights and how bad it was... how are they not
NBC
rethinking
would cut
this?
Back on their spending to placate her. But
yeah. May all be in her contract, though. Maybe what she agreed to when she got hired.
Maybe.
True.
Could there be trouble in paradise already for Rachel and Brian from The Bachelorette?
Yes.
No, no, Allie.
I feel like absolutely.
This is fake news.
Okay.
When we had your Bachelorette report on Tuesday, Petras predicted they would break up while publicizing the finale of the show.
Oh.
OK Magazine, which is suspect from time to time, says that there's already a rocky patch for the two. Brian especially feels like he won by default.
Because you did.
Mm-hmm.
And is also quickly discovering that they're very different people. Brian likes to just work out and then stay at home. But Rachel likes hitting the town. Huh. Rachel is eyeing a career in sports broadcasting here in Los Angeles. While Brian is a very successful chiropractor practice in Miami, Florida, and wants to stay there.
Oh. That's not going to work out.
Who could see these problems coming?
No. You think they'd cover that in the 3 long weeks they spent together?
Yeah. How about a conversation?
Don't be so jealous of love, Allie.
It's true.
We're meant to be together. Kismet.
I mean, I would think, and we had the same conversation back when, which bachelor was it that was a farm hand in Kansas or something, or Iowa,
Jed.
One of those guys, remember?
Not Jed, it was Chris Soules.
Chris Soules.
Chris.
And we kept talking about how these girls did not want to move to Iowa and live on a farm.
Right.
So that should have been in the first 3 minutes of that conversation, they should have known that they weren't going to get together.
And that's why he started killing people with his car.
That's right.
Right.
He should have just started running over everybody that questioned him.
Oh, it was an accident.
I remember that.
You don't know it.
He mowed down like 30 kids, didn't he, Alan?
I think, and some kittens.
Congratulations to Nikki Reed and Ian Somerhalder. That's a lovely couple right there.
Very much so.
They welcomed their first child into the world. Bodie Soleil Reed Somerhalder is her name.
Do you think that Bodie now is so far past Point Break that that's not the inspiration anymore? Now it's really more of the, you know, the woo-woo and the yoga and the swamis and all those.
Yeah,
woo-woo,
that's what it is.
And
woo-woo
the yoga.
And the yoga and the swamis.
You know what I mean.
Grandpa. The hippies with their lava lamps and their beanbag chairs.
It's more of a Buddha name now than it is a Point Break name is what I'm saying.
I think it went from Point Break and then it went to skier. because Bodie Miller, and mm-hmm. now it's a bit hippy dippy. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a boy.
No? I don't think it's gender specific.
No, it's not. I just thought it was going to be a boy. I like it for a girl.
Mm.
How do they spell it?
B O D H I.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there another way?
How else do you spell it?
B O D E B O W D I E.
No, is there another way that humans have used to spell it?
I think Bodie Miller is just B O D
H I.
I thought so. That was H I. Yeah, I thought so. But
no,
this is my area.
B-O-D-E. Bodie.
Wow, that's dumb.
That is dumb.
Yeah.
Stop it.
What if your name was Asshore?
Right?
It's a good question, Jed. Thank you.
And you know what the next big thing is in the celebrity fashion? Church merch. That's right. You heard me. I said church merch.
Huh?
Celebrities are wearing clothing that is distinctive and only obtained from certain houses of worship.
What does that even mean?
I'll tell you. For example, Justin Bieber. Uh-huh. Recently spotted in a distinctive bright orange shirt and matching shorts that only can be obtained from the Los Angeles Zoe Church.
So he's done with Hillsong?
I don't know. I think he's just shopping around.
Sometimes. Churches have their own clothing lines that are exclusive to them?
Yes, Bean, come on!
I was unaware.
What about the Fresh Life Church in Utah? That's where you get those snake bird shirts.
Hmm.
Right? Snake bird.
I say so.
Snake bird. Be as wise as a serpent, as innocent as a dove. Snake bird.
No.
Yes.
That's their motto?
Jesus said it, bitch.
Oh, okay.
That's my shirt. Jesus said it, bitch.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
Right.
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
I don't think that makes any sense. The Christ Tabernacle Church in New York has their own Misfit brand of sweats and denim. Because they encourage Christians to see themselves as in the world, but not of the world.
Hmm.
Misfit? Yo?
I don't know any of this. I don't know.
So if you're hip these days, you're wearing church merch.
Wow. That's what Jesus would want.
That's what he would want. He would want.
I can't wait to talk to Stan Lee later about the next Snakebird movie. I think that's going to be a tremendous superhero.
I don't believe that's a superhero. No. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Hemsworth, he's a superhero. It's Thor.
Yeah.
34 years old today. And a gun. 49. Joe Rogan's 50. Viola Davis.
Whoa! Oh, man! Oh, man! Oh, man!
Joe Rogan.
It's a great tape. Viola Davis is 52. And Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan celebrates his 64th birthday. How are you going to celebrate your birthday there, Hulkster?
Why do you do this? Why?
All right, good stuff. I'm Ralph Garman. I love the show this week.
Friday morning means Ralph is here. It's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Welcome to my world.
What a mixed bag. What a cinematic mixed bag we have this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Some very interesting films. Some light, some dark, some terrifying.
Do any of the new movies this weekend involve emojis?
No, sadly, no emojis this weekend. Right. However, my first film is in limited release this weekend. I will definitely be finding it and checking it out because it is the third film in one of my favorite series, The Trip series. Starring two of my favorite British comedians, Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. This is their third trip movie. All they do is basically go on a road trip together and make people laugh. This is called The Trip to Spain. Stars Steve and Rob and Marta Barrio and Claire Keelan. And they go through Spain, they sample restaurants, and they talk. I know, it doesn't sound very exciting, but it's hilarious.
Hysterical.
These guys are terrific together. Here's some clips from The Trip to Spain.
Rob, Steve Coogan. Just got back from filming in New York.
They want me to do publicity.
A series of restaurant reviews. This time, a trip to Spain.
Yes, I will come.
Olivier played him when he was 42.
Olivier was a better actor than you.
Well, a different actor,
Rob. A better actor.
Have you heard from Steve?
He'll be somewhere talking to a nun and asking if she's heard of Judi Dench.
If you like British humor, this is a great film for you. Good Time opens up this weekend. Robert Pattinson. Oh, I bet he's very grim and serious and sullen as a bank robber who finds himself unable to evade those who are looking for him. Here's some clips from the trailer.
You're incredible. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I'm serious. You think I could have done that without you standing next to me being strong?
Turn around.
He's all right. We didn't do anything.
Whoa, whoa. Get back here. Whoa. Under arrest.
So I told you about my brother, yeah? Something happened. I don't know exactly what. He's been arrested. He's being held at Rikers Island. Just got to get him out of there before something bad happens. He could get killed in there.
You need another 10 grand. You get another 10 grand, your brother will get out.
Hmm. Hey, what's the word on Robert Pattinson? Is he a good actor or not, Ralph?
No.
He kind of sleepwalked through the Twilight movies, but I wondered if that was maybe the character. No. But how is he in other things usually?
He's a jaw and a haircut.
Okay.
Ingrid Goes West, Aubrey Plaza, Elizabeth Olsen, O'Shea Jackson, Wyatt Russell. This is about an unhinged social media user. Well, aren't they all? Who moves to L.A. and stalks an Instagram star. And things get very dark very quickly. Here's some clips from the trailer.
I'm calling about a lost dog named Rothko. Hi, I'm Taylor.
Maybe you're confusing her with one of your Insta fans.
You are by far the coolest, most interesting person I've ever met.
You're so funny. I love you so much. You're amazing.
Your password to your phone is my sister's birthday.
I'm not a psychopath.
I own you.
I just want to be her friend. Are you actually insane?
Yes. Yes, right. You are actually insane.
Right?
Aubrey Plaza is terrifying, by the way.
Yeah. The Glass Castle opens up this weekend. Brie Larson, Woody Harrelson, Naomi Watts, Ella Anderson. Story of a young woman who comes of age in a dysfunctional family of, well, nomads, basically. They just cruise around. The mother's an eccentric artist. The father's an alcoholic. And he tries to stir the children's imaginations with stories to distract them from their poverty. Good Times.
Ooh.
The Glass Castle is the name of the film. Here's some clips. This is Matt Greenfield, who agrees to arm wrestle Woody Harrelson.
Go!
Come on!
Come on, David!
Yay!
Come on,
yay,
David!
Come on.
David,
come on.
You got it.
Come on.
David,
come on.
David,
push.
How's that feel, boy?
Get up, David. Come on. You're stronger than this.
What'd I tell you? No fight.
Come on, David! Get his
ass!
Take him down!
Left-handed rematch.
No, Dad. Don't be a
David,
sore loser.
Left-handed rematch.
I'm ready for whatever you want to throw at me, old man.
Oh. Oh, boy, you were right. It's a mixed bag this weekend, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
The Nut Job. Right? First of all, the Nut Job had all those crazy squirrels in the park getting nuts. Right?
No one remembers this? Is this?
Remember this animated film?
Kids movie? No,
yes.
I don't at all.
Well, they're back again. Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. Nutty by Nature! Nutty by Nature! Nobody gets me. Will Arnett, Katherine Heigl, Maya Rudolph, Jackie Chan. All star. In this film, as a bunch of animals from the park must stop the mayor from destroying their home to make way for an amusement park. How are they going to do it? By being nutty. Here's Will Arnett as the leader, a squirrel, who gets into an argument with a mouse, played by Jackie Chan.
I thought we were in real trouble there for a second. You scared us, you cute little guy. Boop.
I should have booped his cute little nose.
Don't call me cute.
The boop was too much.
This is my city. You are on my turf.
How can someone so cute be so violent?
I said, don't call me cute.
See, the mouse knows kung fu.
I'd let Will Arnett boot me.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
And lastly, we've been talking about this movie for a while, Annabelle Creation.
Oh.
Stephanie Sigmund, Miranda Otto, Anthony LaPaglia. This is the story of the doll maker who made Annabelle. Oh, things aren't going to go well. A little girl dies, so a doll maker and his wife welcome a nun and several girls from a strange orphanage into their home.
Oh, don't do it.
Right?
No.
And then Annabelle gets possessed. Oh, possessed dolls are the worst. Right? Who's with me?
Yes.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Annabelle Creation.
In this house,
I feel a different kind of presence. An evil one. It's coming after me. Because I'm the weakest.
You help me.
What do you need?
Jonas found this doll.
What doll?
The one in the white dress.
This doll! It's hurting Jonas!
You are all going to die tonight.
Ah!
I'm going to take a trip to Spain with my British friends.
Yeah, that sounds like the safe way to go.
Sample some snacks, because I'm scared. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
I'm actually choking on that last swallow of root beer right now, so please forgive me here,
Allie.
That's
not root beer.
That doesn't make any sense. Muggs, come on. Well, hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning. I don't go to New York very often, mm-hmm. but I'm telling you what, I wish I were going to be there sometime in October or November to have an opportunity to at least maybe try to get tickets to go see this Bruce Springsteen on Broadway show.
Yeah, 8 weeks of solo shows, just completely
intimate. It's amazing.
He plays
stadiums most of the time mm-hmm. because he's one of the most popular live performers in the world and has been for 40 years. But this is something new. And I wonder if this had to do with the time, you know, he sat down and wrote his autobiography a year and a half ago or so and really started to examine his life. And I feel like that's the idea behind this presentation is he wants, you know, he says it's going to loosely follow the arc of my life and my work. And he's got hundreds of songs to choose from. He's going to be doing readings from the book. He's going to have other spoken word portions of the show. And it's just going to be him and a guitar or him and a piano, just acoustic, just playing his songs. And it's the hottest ticket in town, as you can imagine.
Sure.
And we're so lucky to have a good relationship with Mr. Springsteen. We're able to get him back on the phone here this morning to tell us a little bit more about the show that's going to be happening at the Walter Kerr Theater in New York City for just 960 lucky fans tonight. Hey, Bruce, welcome back, sir.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, how are you guys?
Well, we're doing fine. It's always great to have you on, boss. But I guess the first question I got to ask is, you know, you're working just as hard in a tiny venue like this as you would be playing a giant stadium, but you're making so much less money. Financially, that's got to take a hit for you.
Well, first of all, if I'm working just as hard in this show as I am on a stadium tour, then I got bigger problems than money, quite frankly, because this is just going to be me and a guitar and a piano and... And that's it. It's going to be quiet. I'm not going to be running around on stage and doing all the crazy antics that you know I've done over the years in those big shows. So
yeah.
there's
all
a
right.
very different experience for the audience, and it's going to be different for me too.
That's a fair point. I mean, you are singing and playing for 3 hours. That's work in itself. But what's the idea? How do you shape a show like this that you say is going to follow the arc of your life and your work? What does that mean, Bruce?
Well. You know, I'll be reading from my autobiography, Born to Run,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to be talking about the events in my life that shaped the songs that people know and shaped me as a person. And when you want to have a conversation about yourself, sometimes you don't want to have that conversation with 50,000 people. It's easier just to have it with not 960 people. So that's why we've scaled everything down. It's going to be... less crazy, more quiet, and more of a conversation than it is than a concert.
Will there be some stories that you'll tell on stage some nights that you've never told before?
Oh, sure. I mean, the book, you can't put everything in one book. And I've got stories, you know, we've just checking out the theater. And
when
I got to the theater and was walking on Broadway, reminded me of the first time I ever left my home there in Jersey and Freehold and went to New York, went to the big city.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember walking through New York City for the first time. And there I was at Times Square. And I tell you, Times Square was a lot different then than it is now. And there were a lot of ladies of the evening, I guess they were called. And
mm-hmm.
I remember seeing this one hooker on the street. And she said, "Hey, baby, you want a date?" And you know, I did want a date. And so she took me to her apartment and she told me $50. I was like, $50? That's all I had in my jeans at the time. And so I decided to go for it. And I took off my clothes and she started laughing.
Oh, no.
I could just remember her laughing, just ringing in my head. Just
It sounds
Omar,
sad.
What are you laughing at? Omar, what are you laughing at, man?
A guy named Omar with you?
Yeah, Omar here working with me sometimes. Okay. So I just remember her laughing, and everything went red. I don't
That had to hurt.
Why did that hurt?
It is because it's just painful. Just shameful, yeah.
Oh, emotionally.
Yes.
The going red part, I thought it meant hurt. That didn't hurt.
No.
Just made me enraged. And right. I remember dangling her outside her second floor apartment window just by her hair.
No, Bruce.
I could tell that her hair was starting to come out by the roof.
Why is there always so much murder?
So much death.
But all I could see below her was a dumpster filled with jagged glass and twisted metal from a local construction site. And
oh, no.
I decided if I dropped her into that dumpster, that she would really get hurt and probably killed. So I had a second thought.
Oh, thank God.
I doused her with lighter fluid first, set her on fire.
Please don't say that,
I'd
Bruce.
Burn her to a crisp before she hit the dumpster.
Bruce.
That way she wouldn't feel the pain.
You had the $50. Just give her the $50.
But the laughter. It was the laughter that made me crazy. And I just remember as she dropped to the sidewalk as a flaming hooker ball.
Oh, my God. Bruce.
The explosion when she hit the dumpster. Something I'll never forget. That's how I came up with Blinded by the Light.
Nope. All right. Comedian Catherine Ryan on the show in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Looking forward to that. Has Ticketmaster finally figured out a way to beat the scalpers? We'll talk about that next hour. And there's a disturbance in the force about the Porgs, you guys. A lot of people very unhappy about the Porgs in the upcoming Last Jedi movie.
Porgs.
We'll discuss coming up on K-Rock. First, Ralph's here with another look at the showbiz beat on a Friday.
How does this sound? A new HBO series about sneakers. Right?
I don't.
The crazy
need
world
it.
Of sneakers.
I don't need it.
Come on, sneakers.
Like the big releases and all the people that clamored, not
yeah,
that kind of release,
release,
Ralph. Like all the
it's
people that line up.
It's a sitcom about the sneaker world.
Okay.
HBO planning a new half hour comedy about two best friends and their wild employees at their up and coming sneaker shop.
Huh.
Yes, where the action is.
Right? It's a unique take on the insane and obsessive world of the sneaker culture.
Yeah.
I'm hearing
a lot of
from
people
a,
like sneakers.
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing from assistant producer Christine that she is so excited. It is one of her passions, she says.
She's one of those people that really looks forward to the big releases. But, there, I mean, again, not that kind, Ralph. But there are people lined up sleeping overnight in front of places, waiting to get that
but
new sneaker.
You,
those
can't
people
you
should
not,
burn.
Okay. Can't you not get most of the hot new releases because of all the people who are buying them as in investments at this point?
I'm sorry, we're still talking about sneakers?
Well, yeah,
sneakers,
because
you brought
it up, but and they don't even a lot of people don't even wear the sneakers, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just treat them like art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's stop validating this behavior by treating it like it's a thing. Okay.
Well, apparently for some people it's a thing.
Fire must cleanse us is what I'm saying. Fire must cleanse us. Fire must cleanse us. Fire must cleanse us.
Fire must cleanse us.
Go down there while they're waiting in line and just get yourself a flamethrower.
I don't think
just
we want to.
Clean up the town.
You should talk to Bruce.
I should talk to Bruce. He's got the right idea.
Come on, man.
LeBron James is one of the people behind this series, by the way.
That doesn't surprise me.
What could LeBron James' interest be in a sneaker show? Let me think. Oh, that's right. He does have a lifetime contract with Nike that he signed back in 2015, so... I'm guessing there may be some Nike sneakers in this show.
Possible product placement.
We'll see. Remember Michael Jackson?
Ooh.
He was good, right?
All right, moving on.
Moving on. No, he had, of course, a famous classic video named Bad. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, the star of that. You remember who the star of that was? What unknown at the time actor starred in that video alongside Michael Jackson went on to fame and fortune?
I should know this. It's somebody very famous.
He's somebody very famous, yes.
Yes, I'm sorry, I do not remember.
This was his sort of big break.
I do not recall.
Actor named Wesley Snipes.
Yes!
Was the star in Bad. And the role that he played in that video was originally promised to... Prince.
Huh.
Prince was supposed to star in that video with Michael Jackson. Wesley was on Conan O'Brien's show on Wednesday and said, "Me and Prince were auditioning together, and I blew Prince out of the water."
All right, calm down.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, Prince, however, has a different version of the story. He told Chris Rock back in 1997, a long time ago, that he eventually changed his mind and said he didn't want to be in the video. He turned down the role.
Hmm.
Because of the first line of the song made him uncomfortable. You know what the first line of Bad is?
I don't think I do.
No.
Your butt is mine.
It sure is.
That's the first line. Your butt is mine. That made Prince uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But that sounds very Prince-y, though.
He has lyrics
that are far more graphic than that.
Maybe he didn't want Michael's butt. Maybe Michael didn't want his butt. Maybe he didn't want butt stuff.
But Wesley Snipes was down for it.
Wesley Snipes was down for it.
And of course, wonderful Hollywood story.
That all came in handy later when he was in prison for tax evasion.
Butt stuff! Butt stuff! Right? Butt stuff! Butt stuff!
Well, that's interesting.
Wasn't the last time you heard Your Butt Is Mine, I bet, Wesley Snipes. Because of prison.
Yeah.
See? Because he did time for tax evasion.
Right. I think we got it. It's on. We heard it.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, by the way, real quick, happy anniversary to the Mall of America.
The one in Minnesota?
Minnesota's Mall of America.
Second largest mall in North America?
That's right. You know what the first one is?
I've been to the first largest mall in North America. It's in Edmonton.
Oh, okay.
Well, what do you have? What's in your paperwork?
Did they add on somewhere?
No. I realized after the fact you said North America. I was thinking... The good America. The United States of America. Our America. America first, I was thinking.
What's bigger in America?
The King of Prussia Mall, right outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Why did I ask?
What are you doing? Let's go to King of Prussia. What do you say? Let's go to King of Prussia Mall.
That's bigger than the Mall of America?
Hell yeah, it
is. Does it have roller coasters?
That's why
and stuff?
We hop on the 76, we go up to King of Prussia, get off there, and you go to the mall. Aaron's huge.
Yeah.
Even bigger than the Chamonix Mall or Oxford Valley Mall.
Right.
That's why we like to go to King of Prussia Mall.
They got water
ice. Some people tune out. They got hoagies.
They do got hoagies. They got a great Eagle store there. You get all the new jerseys and stuff that come out. See preseason last night?
How'd Blunt do?
Eagles playing against the Packers. They lost, but they look good.
Yeah?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Hemsworth celebrates his 34th birthday. Anna Gunn's 49. Joe Rogan turns 50 today. Viola Davis is 52. And wrestler Hulk Hogan celebrates his 64th birthday today. How are you going to celebrate your birthday there, Hulkster?
I'm going to have a birthday cake, brother.
Come on, Bean.
Put some effort into it. Way to step up, man.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, not that Hulk? Wrong Hulk?
Oh, Jesus. We'll try again next hour. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, you were listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for many, many years before you joined as a member of the show.
I was.
Do you remember Miss Cleo?
I do.
Phone screener. I think she may have started as an intern phone screener. Mm-hmm. And long before you used to play, long before you started playing the title fight with Dave, Miss Cleo played title fight. Here's a clip.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock.
Okay, so that's an example of our friend Miss Cleo, who sadly is no longer in the entertainment industry. She went off to a lucrative career in another business. But I did get an email from her yesterday that I thought was fascinating. I thought it might be a good opportunity for us to get her back on the show and, A, find out what she's been up to, and, B, help her figure out a problem that she encountered the other night at the Lady Gaga concert. Miss Cleo, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. I'm good. How are you? Good morning, Allie.
Hey.
It has been a long time since we have talked to you on the radio. What are you up to these days?
Working at a private school in Irvine, living the dream. That's about it.
All right. You still listen to the show sometimes?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Oh, all right. Don't be so enthusiastic about it, Cleo. All right.
My commute is short.
You sent me an email yesterday that I thought was interesting, and I thought a lot of our listeners might relate to it and maybe even have an opinion on it. What happened? You were at the Lady Gaga concert. Where was this and when?
So this was Wednesday night at the Forum in Los Angeles, and I was enjoying Lady Gaga, as one does, and about halfway through the show, I hear this voice behind me saying, "Hey, sit down!" And, of course, I'm Sassy McSasserson, so I turn around and I'm about to tell this person off, And when I turn around, I realize it's an old lady. And, you know, my mama raised me right, so I couldn't tell her off. But I was also really upset because it's Lady Gaga. She told me to just dance, and that's exactly what I did. So I was enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Was it during a slow song, like a love song, that she thought everybody should be seated, or was it during an upbeat song?
So this was like a slower portion of the show, but I mean, Lady Gaga was going in and out of like her dance hits and then slowing it down, and everyone in front of me was also standing up.
Yeah. Well, now that's
that
key
makes a huge
because
difference.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. You're right, Allie, because I think you take your cue. There are a lot of factors involved in the decision whether it's okay to stand up at a concert or not. And one of them is what everybody else is doing. Another is where you are in the seating chart, for instance. Like, for instance, if you're in row 12 and everybody in front of you is sitting down and you're the first person standing up to block everybody behind you, probably pretty uncool. But everybody around you was also dancing, but this lady was just mad because she had to stand up in order to see, right?
Yeah, the area that I was in was split about 50-50. Half of the people were sitting down the entire show, which is just ridiculous at a Lady Gaga concert. But the other half was up for the majority of the show, so... I don't think I did anything wrong.
I don't think you did anything
wrong
either. I think you get a pass on Lady Gaga. I really do. But I also do, and I'd be curious to know what other people think if they want to call or text on this at 1-800-520-1067. I also do think that there is an argument. I may disagree with it, but I think it's a valid argument for somebody to say, hey, I bought a ticket for this show, and I don't want to stand up, and I want to be able to sit in my seat that I paid for and watch the show. I do get that.
Okay, flip side, I paid for the show, and I want to dance, and I want to have a great time.
Right.
Why does your ticket mean
because
more?
Because person A doesn't impact the ability for other people around you to enjoy the show, to be able to even see the show. Person B does. Even though you're using the same amount of space at your seat, you are blocking people behind you who maybe don't want to stand up. And I do get, again, don't get me wrong, Cleo, I'm on your side because it's Lady Gaga. But if you extrapolate this to all other kinds of concerts, I think there are a lot of occasions where there are people just don't want somebody standing in front of them all night.
Well,
they don't want to stand up all night.
There's a time and a place, even at certain shows where you're up and dancing and then they decide to do slower hits, you sit down.
But you ought to have a right to sit in your seat even for faster hits if you want to. I can see the argument.
Then you need to buy seats that you can do that in.
Exactly. Yes. You need to be front and center. You don't need to. At least towards the back. I mean, towards the back, like, you can't expect me to sit down the entire show because you don't want to stand. I think that's crazy.
I agree.
Did a lot of people enjoy watching you dance, do you think, Miss Cleo?
Oh, why did it have to get creepy?
I'm not being creepy at all. I'm just saying.
But they never left being sad.
didn't we make you run one time on video, Cleo?
You tried to make me do jumping jacks.
Oh, jumping jacks. That's what it was. That's right. So those are the good old days, weren't they? All right, well, we're gonna take a couple of calls. We're gonna let you go, Cleo, get to work. But we're gonna take a couple more calls of this and see what the room feels. But if you're asking for our opinion, I think Allie and I agree that you were totally in the right. I'm glad you didn't smack that old lady and you kept your manners about you. But you should get to dance at Lady Gaga. It's great to hear from you. Okay.
You too. Have fun, guys.
All right, thank you. All right, let's talk to Jessica real quick. She's in La Mita. She wants to weigh in real quick. Line 2, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Jessica, what's going on?
Hello?
Hey, Jessica.
Hi, yes, sorry. So I went to Elton John, Red Piano Tour at the Caesars Palace in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole crowd was a bit older. I mean, I know that some of them are gamblers, and they got those tickets for free, just like my mom, and my mom took me. And we were so excited, and we're ready to stand up, but that was like a time where people didn't allow photos or even a snapshot of like phones with their phones or photos. So anyway, like, we tried standing up, and people wanted us to sit down. Like, no one else was standing up, so we had to sit down. But, you know, you can tell Elton John was trying to get the crowd to stand up, and no one would. And he was kind of, you can tell he was kind of bummed out about it because he was thinking Saturday.
Yeah, there's a certain energy that they need back from the audience. And if it's a bunch of old people that are almost dead, that sucks.
Yeah, I can see that. And particularly if you're playing, if he's doing Saturday Night's Ride for Fighting and the bitch is back and songs like that, that is supposed to make the room, you know, come alive. Yeah. And then he looks out and just sees a bunch of people just sitting and staring at him. I totally get that. So you and your mom were like the youngest people there. So you kind of had to do what the rest of the people were doing.
Yeah, I mean, finally, he encouraged people just to come up to his piano and start dancing. And those were, like, the only people that were really allowed to stand up and dance. And everyone else was just kind of looking around. And, you know, I felt like running down there myself, but I was a little bit further away. So.
Gotcha.
That,
all right.
Definitely felt he wanted that. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for listening, Jessica.
Feel the love that night.
Let's talk to Jeff, line one, Laverne. He has an interesting perspective. He is always asked to sit down. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Tell me.
Bean, I'm like you. I'm 6'7", and I took a friend of mine to go see Pink, and we had decent seats, and there was these two 15, 16-year-old girls behind us who were trying to dance, and these douchebags behind them were saying, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that. The girls were sitting down, all sad, so I said, you know what, let's switch seats. So we switched seats, and I stood up the whole show, so they couldn't see a damn thing.
And no one's going to argue with you because you're 6'7", right?
Yeah, there was no issues. It was awfully quiet when I stood up, so
yeah.
It was good, though.
That is funny. You are in an interesting situation because you can never stand up without annoying people, right? Even if everybody else is standing up, once you stand up, nobody behind you is going to be able to see.
Right, and my wife loves being in front, you know, and it's like I tell her, hey, I can't go up front because everybody behind me can't see.
Yeah.
You know, but I bought a ticket just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. They don't when you buy your tickets, they don't arrange them in order of who wants to sit and who wants to stand and how tall they are. Unfortunately, we just all have to wing it when we get there. All right, Jeff, thanks for listening. Appreciate the call. We'll be right back with more on K-Rock. Comedian Catherine Ryan joins us in studio coming up just after 8 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Very much looking forward to that. Allie, you've been a fan of hers for a long time.
I have found her very amusing for a very long time. Enjoy her on panel shows. Just she's great. Really
funny. We've never had her on the show before, so I'm very excited about that. Also, has Ticketmaster finally figured out a way to beat the scalpers? That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the World Trade Center.
Ticketmaster figured out blah, 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 blah.
It's Roland.
Roland.
What?
What? What are you doing?
What are you doing is the question.
I'm doing a radio show.
It's unbelievable.
I was going to do a thing here, and I can't do a thing if you bust in on the phone like you do.
Well, I'm going to do a thing so that people will be entertained instead.
What's on your mind, Roland?
We're talking about things that matter instead of whatever you were going to talk about. Probably, I'm guessing, an eclipse near a Cracker Barrel.
Not yet.
As a matter of fact, America does have eclipse fever right now, so thank you for bringing that up.
Last Jedi fever is what they have.
Oh, well, okay.
People are excited about The Last Jedi. Yeah, sure.
They are. Entertainment Weekly released photos of the new film.
Yes. People are looking forward to this. It comes out when? Around Christmas time again, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're all excited about it. We're on the same page with this one, Roland.
Have you seen the pictures?
Yeah.
I might have seen some of them. Caretakers?
I have.
Caretakers are like nuns who take care of the island where Luke Skywalker lives in self-imposed exile.
I love them.
Okay. I like that. That sounds good.
And then, of course, there's the porks.
Oh, you don't like the porks?
The little adorable porks. They look like little gremlins.
No, well, they look like otter pug birds. Really?
I'm sorry. What now?
They look like little otter pug.
Otter pug birds.
Yeah, if you put them all together, that's a porg.
They look like penguins.
Wow. Well,
they look like furry penguins with golf ball eyes.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it.
You know what they look like? They look like merchandise.
Well,
I'm sure they'll make some toys, but that's what Star Wars does, Roland.
Oh, he's got his lightsaber.
My lightsaber, I will destroy the porgs.
But, Roland, this is what Star Wars does. They go to galaxies all over the universe,
they
and they have
to
lots
Toys
of
R Us and fill the shelves with with stuffed porgs.
But it would be unrealistic if they lived in a universe where there weren't all sorts of different kinds of creatures, just like there are Wookiees over here. There are porgs over there. There's room for everything.
Furry penguin pug otter dogs or whatever she said.
I said otter pug birds.
That doesn't exist in the universe. Everything is ugly.
Well, it's a lot like the Ewoks in Empire Strikes Back. Oh, dear. Okay.
Have we learned nothing from that horrible disaster known as the Ewoks?
Come on. They were cute.
Look, I understand it. Midgets got to work. I get it. But seriously, what? We don't need that again. That horrible mistake. Oh, aren't the teddy bears cute? Oh, let's have a picnic and let's crush things with a log.
Don't you think that a lot of the success of Return of the Jedi was for people who loved Little Wicket and the rest of the Ewoks?
Don't don't sell me stuffed animals in my Star Wars. I reject the Porgs. I will not be assimilated.
That's
Porgs.
Those are Borgs. You're confusing. Oh. That's Star Trek.
Damn it!
Oh no!
Now I'm even angrier. I've crossed my genres. I've crossed my franchises. Ah, damn you, Porgs!
All week long, including today's show, we're giving you tickets to go see The Killers at Staples Center on February 1st and qualify for the grand prize drawing we do Monday morning right here on K-Rock. Tickets for you and five friends, your own dressing room, you get to hang out with the band, you get free merchandise and a chauffeured SUV to the show. All of that and details at KRock.com. Your chance to win is coming up. Speaking of concerts, yesterday Ralph brought in a story about the Springsteen residency happening on Broadway in New York this fall. And he mentioned something I had not heard before, the Ticketmaster Verified Fan Program, an effort to try to get the scalpers out of the business of concerts. And I'm telling you what, when I heard that, I thought, if the Ticketmaster has finally come up with something that's going to work, that's going to prevent this from happening or at least reduce it from happening, we need to know more about it and we need to figure out how we can help make it happen for all the shows, because that's got to be the number one complaint, especially in Southern California for these shows that sell out so fast, is you feel like the regular guy can never buy tickets, right?
100%.
So we asked Dave if he could line somebody up, and boy, did he get someone. The executive vice president and head of music for Ticketmaster North America, Mr. David Marcus, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, David, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure to have you, man. This Ticketmaster Verified Fan was new to me yesterday. I'm sure it's new to a lot of our listeners today. Can you briefly describe what it's all about, sir?
Yeah, no problem. It's, we rolled it out about 6 or 7 months ago, and we've rolled it out on probably 50 plus tours already. And it's simple. It's registration-based ticketing. And the idea is fans come and tell us a show they want to go see. They register with their name, their email address, and their mobile phone number. If they have a Ticketmaster account, they log into that. If they don't, they create one. And that's it. And now they're in the pool of registered fans. And we take a look at all that data, everyone who's registered to go see a tour or go see a show. And we have this this crazy team of data scientists, and they run their algorithms against that data, and they do an amazing job of identifying who's a real fan, who's likely to use the ticket that they buy, and they separate those people from the people who we expect are going to resell their tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And we invite the fans, the verified fans, to buy tickets, and we don't invite the scalpers. And it makes a huge difference.
So basically, they are sent a code, is it via email or text, about kind of like almost a pre-sale for those tickets?
Yeah, you know, it can work in a lot of pre-sale, on sale. We've done it a lot of different ways, and I can talk a little bit about that. But the simple answer to your question is, yeah, the more, if you're selected, if you're invited to participate in one of these on sales, you get a code texted to you the morning of the pre-sale and a link. And you hit that link on your mobile phone, and you can go to the mobile website and put in the code. And now you're in a ticket buying experience where you can be assured the only other people in that experience are also verified fans, and everybody's shopping at a human pace and not at a bot pace, right? Because the problem we all have encountered is you go on at 10 o'clock, and immediately it looks like the show's sold out. What's happening is, yeah, there are lots of fans coming on, but there are also lots of bots, and everybody's trying to race and get tickets, and that basically takes all the tickets and puts them in this, it's called inquiry status, right? They're in shopping carts, mm-hmm. and then no one else can get them, and the bots are trying to pick out the best tickets, and our software systems are fighting the bots, and there's this whole crazy battle going on behind the scenes. But fundamentally, for the average fan, it just looks like a mess.
Yeah.
And so if we can take the bots out of it, we can really change the experience for the ticket buyer and just make it a much more rational, reasonable, less anxiety-ridden experience.
I have to imagine, I don't know how long you've been working for Ticketmaster, but this has to be the number one complaint that you hear in your offices is these bots, right?
Well, it is these days, yeah. It used to be the fees, right? That was always the knock on Ticketmaster. But now it's I can't get tickets.
Right, right.
And, that's painful to hear.
Now, this doesn't prevent a scalper from going through the process and becoming a Ticketmaster verified fan, but it seems less likely that 1,000 scalpers will be able to and get through the system, right?
Well, look, no system's perfect, right? There's no 100% is hard, but we're we know who the scalpers are. And we've been probably the biggest distributor of tickets to scalpers for the last 10 years, right? I mean, that's, we're the primary, right? We're where the tickets start. And if you are a big concert scalper, you know, you're trying to figure out how to get tickets from Ticketmaster. So we know who these people are. We know what their accounts look like. And on the flip side, we have a really good sense of what a normal human being looks like in the world. And so we've done a really good job of separating the two. So yeah, scalpers try every day to register.
Right.
And they're always trying to get in the system. But we're really good at figuring out who's who.
I know you've done this with Ed Sheeran, Harry Styles, Imagine Dragons. Are you going to roll this out for every concert? Or is it just...
I'd love to.
Is that going to happen over time?
You know, I think this works best for high-demand concerts, right?
Right.
For emerging artists who are looking to find fans, they have other problems, right? Those are marketing problems. How do we help those artists find people who want to come see their show? But for high-demand stuff, yeah, this should roll out. There's really two kinds of tickets, right, for a high-demand artist. There are tickets that are priced below market price, and then there are tickets that are priced at market price. If you're going to put a ticket out as an artist, you know, Ed Sheeran's a good example. His tickets are all $99, and that's really important to him. He's dead set. He's not going to charge more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe $10 more, but he's not going to charge $700.
Right.
And we know tickets for Ed Sheeran have been selling. You know, his top ticket at Staples Center, I think, on the secondary market went for $1,500.
Oh, wow.
So that's not Ed Sheeran's brand. That's not who he wants to be.
And he's not getting that money. He's not getting that additional money. He's getting the same as he would for... Yeah, exactly.
He gets the $99.
Right.
Right? So someone who takes no risk in the show, has no stake in it, gets between Ed and his fans. And so, you know, our job is to help artists who are trying to get tickets to fans at prices that they think are fair and they think are part of their fan relationship. Our job is to make that happen.
$99. We've got David Marcus on the line, Executive Vice President and Head of Music for Ticketmaster North America. We're almost out of time here, David. I'm very intrigued and pleased with everything I've heard you say today. I just have to ask one final question, and that is, what does Pearl Jam think? Have they signed off on the verified fan yet?
There's an answer to that question, and I can't answer it yet because it's not the right time. But I will tell you that we've worked now with enough artists, and this is proven enough that I think you're going to see a lot of your favorite artists embracing this.
That's fantastic.
Because it's good for artists and good for fans.
All right. Great news. This is something we've been hearing the complaints as long as you have there at Ticketmaster. And I know a lot of K-Rock listeners are going to be happy to hear about this. The Ticketmaster Verified Fan. You can find more online at Ticketmaster.com. David, appreciate you jumping on. Have yourself a great weekend. Thanks for the time, sir.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Just put up a poll on the Kevin Amina Twitter account.
Yeah, I just put up a poll, too.
No. This is where you vote between two choices, that kind of a poll.
Oh.
I want to get your ruling on this, see how the room comes down on Fryay being a thing. Fryay is a trending topic here this morning. I am full on board with support for Fryay.
Of course you
are. I'm just wondering how you guys feel about it.
Hell no.
It's really dumb, Bean.
It feels so good, though. It takes Friday, which is already awesome, and juices it to make it Fryay, which is even better.
Yeah, we get what the word is doing.
I understand why people are saying it, but it's just dumb.
So I'm going to put you down as a yes, then. I'm going to put you down as in support.
Fryay.
Fryay, right?
I mean.
It's like a case of the Mondays right there.
Little Sunday Funday, who's in?
Get your ass
cut it out.
Bag in the desert. Yeah. For you.
I'm going to be honest and tell you that it's not looking good for my team right now, immediately out of the gate. I have started slow in that I'm the only person in support of Fryay.
Because you're a cheese factory. That's why it's all you do is be awful.
But I'm feeling good that the happy people are gonna show up. So I think we're going to be all on board with Fryay by the time this thing
goes. God, you're dumb.
All right, 7:54, the lovely Catherine Ryan, a very, very funny comedian, actress, writer, is going to be joining us in studio right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on here on this Fryay?
And she shares my feelings about Taylor Swift, which makes her my favorite.
She loves Taylor Swift.
She loves Taylor.
You have misunderstood her, Ralph.
Yeah, she loves Taylor. Loves the squad, loves all that. She just may not think her soul is all there.
That's what I'm talking about.
But she still loves her. Ralph gets so upset.
Soulless. Succubus. Hey, this is ridiculous. Let's not do this. NBC has announced a rebooted version of The Munsters, the classic 1960s sitcom, which starred a family of monsters. Their last name was Munster with a U, but in reality, let's face it, they were monsters.
How
right?
many remakes have we had of the
yeah,
monsters?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like we've done this already.
This has been revived, rebooted, and remade several times.
Didn't
Most recently just happened like 8 minutes ago. They just did one with Jerry O'Connell and Portia de Rossi and Eddie Izzard.
That's right.
What?
Last year.
Yes.
On yeah. TV?
Yes.
I saw it.
Really?
Yes.
No memory.
Brian
of that.
Fuller tried to bring it back as a series.
Brian Fuller?
Yes. And then the it didn't go to series. They only had the pilot, so they aired it as a TV special around Halloween.
You watched it, Pete?
I did.
Why?
Well, first of all, I love the Munsters. I love the original show. And I just want to see what it is. I like so many of those actors. I love Portia de Rossi. Love Eddie Izzard. I mean, I why not? It wasn't good. It wasn't good. But isn't Seth Meyers behind this new reboot, though, which is encouraging news, I think?
It's not encouraging. Seth Meyers seems like a very nice guy, but no. Listen, 1960s, you could get away with anything on television. It was the golden age of dumbass sitcoms.
Right.
You could have genies in bottles. You could have people stranded on islands. You could have talking cars that used to be your mother. Mm-hmm. You could have anything. But now, in a neighborhood, it's going to take place in Brooklyn, and the Munsters try to fit in with all the hipsters in Brooklyn. Mm. Because I'm Frankenstein's monster. Oh, I'm a werewolf. Stop it.
I like it.
No,
it's a hit.
It's not
a
hit.
I think I'll keep watching it.
You just can't. It won't. Stop it.
It might not work.
I'm telling you now, it will not work.
What about Brad Garrett as Herman? Yeah, in? A little bit?
That's pretty good casting. He played Frankenstein's monster in that Apple ad, remember?
It was a tearjerker.
Yeah.
He does a Fred Gwynne impression, too, by the way. It's pretty
does
funny.
He?
Yeah.
Huh.
But
sounds
I'm just telling
like
you,
on board.
I'm telling you no, I'm telling you it won't work.
Sounds
Stop
to me like
it.
The best thing about Frye is this
oh,
office reboot.
God damn it. Can you?
No, he can't, Ralph. That's the thing.
Hey, you know who's going to be on television? The Mooch! Anthony Scaramucci. Oh. The Mooch is going to be on TV.
Yeah.
It's going to be on the Stephen Colbert Show, The Late Show, coming this Monday.
So this is the real Mooch.
The real Mooch.
This isn't Bill Hader on the SNL thing last night. This is the real dude.
This is Anthony Scaramucci appearing on TV for the first time since his firing 10 days into his job at the White House. He has agreed to be on television with Stephen Colbert. That should be interesting.
Yeah. I'll watch that for sure.
I will watch the hell out of that. I will watch that deep.
Oh.
Okay. I'll watch that hard.
Yeah, we get it.
I will watch that all over its face and neck and chest.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to watch it. I'm telling you where I'm watching it.
What's wrong with you?
You heard me. I'm watching it.
Oh, my God.
Vin Scully's upset.
Sorry, Vin.
I mean,
he's not mad at you. He's just disappointed,
he's
Ralph.
So disappointing.
Congratulations, Andy Cohen and Fox will be working together again on a second season of Love Connection.
Oh, good.
Well, good for Andy.
They will feature a single men and women of all ages and sexual orientations in search of romance. Apparently, each episode of Love Connection, the revived version, averaged about 2.6 million viewers an episode over there on Fox. So.
Wow.
That's worth bringing back because that probably costs about $8 to make,
tops,
right?
Yeah.
Buy them a lunch and an Uber ride and you got yourself a date.
Let me say something.
They don't even follow them on the date with cameras, right? They have them come back and talk about the date after.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
God, is that a cheap show to do?
For sure.
It all takes place in just in one studio, right?
But then I think if they pick each other at the end, they get
happens?
Like a big trip or something.
Ah. Peanuts. Yeah. It's peanuts.
Yeah. Sponsor, too. So.
Right.
Yeah, I got to get on that.
You got to get on that Love Connection.
Yeah.
And that Andy Cohen, by the way, is a real easy guy to enjoy on television.
He's super what he does. Very, very talented host. Very congenial and makes television a good time.
Right.
It's like you in radio, Bean.
Thank
Just
you.
Just joy and fun wherever you go.
Yep. Yeah,
that's very sweet of you.
Every day is Friday.
See, I'm telling you.
I will hunt you down like the dog that you are.
You
and
didn't
want
to like it.
I
and
will
now,
end you.
Now you love it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Hemsworth is 34 years old today. Actress Anna Gunn lovely and talented actress, is 49 years old today. Joe Rogan is 50. Viola Davis, she's 52. What show was she on again there, Allie? What show was that?
How to Get Away with Murder.
Is your name Allie?
Oh, sorry.
And do you say it the right way?
Is name Allie?
All right, ask again.
Did you hear me say Allie?
I'll stand up.
Did you hear me say Allie?
I apologize.
Why would you jump in when I specifically asked Allie to do it?
I don't want to be here anymore.
Allie, what's the name of that Viola Davis show?
How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah!
Thank you, kids. Thank you.
And Hulk Hogan, the wrestler, is 64 years old today. Hulkster, why do you going to celebrate your birthday?
I'm going to have some cake, brother.
Oh, for the love of God.
You're so quick to jump in on Allie's bid. You want to be all over that. You want to put your stink all over that. And then we ask you to do one thing, and that's what you deliver.
All right, you got to be cool and eat fruit.
Still Friday, though, right?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, you going to be okay? You going to geek out?
I love her. I love her.
Keep it in your
pants.
She's great, right?
And I think she needs to be a huge hit in America, and I'm here for it.
All right. Well, let's do our part. Comedian, actress, writer Catherine Ryan making her first appearance here on the Kevin Bean Show.
We are delighted
to have you here, Catherine. Welcome.
You were talking about me just then.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I was like, who's coming in?
Is there a big star around the corner?
Can't wait.
Catherine, how are you?
I'm so well. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me here.
You're very funny, and for anyone who hasn't already seen Catherine's Netflix special, that's homework for the weekend, and you'll love it. It's called In Trouble. It's available on Netflix. And one of the things that fascinates me about you is because a lifelong Canadian, but then you moved to the UK, 9 years ago, roughly, right?
Yes.
And what did that do to your accent?
Oh, I don't feel that it's done much to my accent. Except I still sound Canadian. I think when you move somewhere as an adult, you don't lose your accent.
But don't you find in Britain, because of so many mannerisms they have in the language, that you tend to pick them up? Because, like, when I go to England, all of a sudden I find myself saying things like, cup of tea, which you would never think to say in America, but everybody else says it there. In the UK, it just kind of works its way into your language.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I've been there so long now, and obviously my daughter was born there. My daughter's British, so she corrects me. And I do say lift and tomato, and I can do sort of British-isms, but nobody wants to go over there and turn into Madonna. It's like, I don't need to be coming back to America talking like this. Like, nobody needs that.
Mm-mm.
You have said that Britain is the best place in the world for comedians.
I really think so, especially when you're starting out. There's such a really rich pub culture there, and people go out every night of the week to see live music, spoken word, comedy, what have you. And when I was growing up in Canada, I saw the comedy scene just a little bit when I was starting out, and just the geography of it made it really difficult. Everyone I knew was staying home or going out to see hockey, ice hockey, as we call it in the UK. And the same is true of America. You know, you guys are really big, and there are great, great comedians here, great comedy clubs here. But if you're a beginner in Los Angeles, forget about it. I think it's really, really hard for you to get on stage.
And there's so much more for comedians to do, not just on stage. There's such a vehicle with all the panel shows. You can't watch TV in England without seeing 5 or 6 shows a night where they're really showing off what they can do.
That's very true as well. So I started doing British panel shows in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd already been grafting out there for a while doing the circuit. And then as soon as you get invited on the panel shows, I mean, they will be about current events, politics, sport. Yeah. They'll be about celebrity culture. And it's this real inclusive, really specifically British, nostalgic format, mm-hmm. I think, that people really tune in for. And then they'll come and see you on tour. Really helps build your career really fast.
Why do you suppose those shows are not as popular in America? We have so many comedians. Why do you think a network hasn't attempted a panel show like that?
I mean, they have, and I used to really enjoy Midnight, and I saw that has ended, which is a shame. Chelsea Lately was a little bit inclusive. You'd see other comedians on that as well. But for the most part, I don't know. I can't really speak to that, except to maybe just, I think it's a very me culture. It's like one person with a microphone. I don't know. I mean, you guys should try it. I love American comedians. I think it would be great.
We just got really quiet.
What was that? Thinking
about. No, I was thinking of my favorite panel show back there. I would love to see it out here, but there's something about the storytellers. Would I Lie to You is my favorite show. But I think out here, everyone's trying so hard to be a star and one-up each other that the inclusiveness wouldn't be there. And I think that's what all of these shows have.
Yeah. So. There is a real just laid-back British sense of humor, and we do give space for storytelling. And every comedian that I know is just a wonderful person, and we're all so close. But, you know, it is still very alpha. And I get asked in the UK anyway, well, these shows, everybody's trying to jump in with their lines or with their stories or whatever. It's such a male environment. I don't think it's a male environment. I think it's a very alpha environment, and we're learning that women are alpha too. And I think it would work over here just fine. I mean,
one of the shows that I always watch, and I've seen the clips on YouTube, but whenever I'm in the UK, I always watch the Stephen Fry show. And I am in awe of that show. And that show definitely would never work in America because it's you have to be so smart to be on that show.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough smart people to put that show on one time in this country.
Oh, well, you don't have to be smart. Stephen Fry is smart, and the new host, Sandy Toksvig, is really smart. But I've been on the show twice, and I'm not smart.
Really? I feel like most people would go on that show and walk away looking like dum-dums.
Well, that's true. I mean, when I first moved to the UK, I did find that the stand-up circuit was very literary. They've all been to these tremendous schools. I mean, I was really intimidated by how smart they are. But, I mean, you can be funny just by asking questions and by being curious. And I think that's my angle into the show when I go on QI. I don't have any answers, but I have a lot of questions.
I loved you when I found out, A, that you brought Hooters to the UK.
Yeah.
But, B, why you were fired from Hooters.
Oh, yeah. That was a sad time in my life. I started working at Hooters in Canada back when I thought that the best thing that you could be was pretty. I had skin-colored hair, hair-colored skin. I was really doing it. And I was always in trouble. I mean, all my life, I was just provocative and saying the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And then I was always just trying to be funny, trying to make things good. And I had the responsibility of writing on the lunch chalkboard because I was one of the most smartest.
Sure.
And I wrote one time for lunch, club sandwiches, not seals. Because in Canada, seal clubbing was like a thing. Right. And then I got in trouble, like really, really bad. There were some fishermen in. They took it as like a pointedly xenophobic attack. And then I was fired. They were like, we don't care about your political opinions here at Hooters. And I was surprised. I was like, but I have an authentic voice. No, they were like, get out. And genuinely, the comedy club was next to the Hooters.
That's amazing.
And that's how I started doing comedy.
Thank God it was next door. Right. What if it was like a craft shop?
I know.
We'd just be talking about scrapbooking right now, and that would suck.
Like, I'm here with my mosaic.
Catherine Ryan is here. The Netflix special is called In Trouble. We're going to talk some more about that and a bunch of other stuff when we return. Hey, I know you don't think it's a big deal, but it is that you're going to be doing a bunch of comedy in Southern California this weekend. Just hit that real quick so folks can come out and see you in person.
I think it's a really big deal. I'm at the Comedy Store. The Comedy Store.
The Comedy Store, ladies and gentlemen.
I think that's a huge deal, Friday and Saturday, and then the Hollywood Improv on Sunday. And I'm just, I'm nervous because Americans don't know me very well, but I feel super blessed. Hashtag blessed to be there.
Catherine Wright is here. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. We're going to ask Catherine to take Allie with her when she leaves as a result of the damage inflicted upon me during that song.
What? Unbelievable. Women get their periods, Bean, and they talk about it.
That was a deep dive, though, you guys.
Well,
I know,
you wish it was a deep dive.
I know more about the two of you than I do about my own wife. Catherine Ryan is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show, comedian, actress, writer.
This is what I deal with.
Listen, real gangsters run red lights.
That is the takeaway from today's show, ladies and gentlemen. You can see Catherine at the Comedy Store and the Improv this weekend, but what you really ought to do yourself a favor here, is watch the special on Netflix called In Trouble. You shot at the famous Hammersmith Apollo Theater in London.
Yeah, we have an Apollo.
It's a beautiful venue, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. I built it.
Nice. Hey, your daughter is named, your little 9-year-old daughter is named Violet, which is one of my favorite names in the whole wide world. I just love it. So it's so beautiful. But did you name her after the Dowager Countess?
I did. No, I did not. Who's that?
From Downton Abbey.
Oh yeah. No, you know what's funny?
Maggie Smith. Yeah, her name's Violet.
I love Maggie Smith. I don't watch Downton Abbey. I have a real problem with drama. I can't handle it. I get really
upset.
You are
a fake Brit, then, if you don't watch Downton Abbey.
I know. I mean, Violet was also a suffragette. Like, it's an old school name of powerful women everywhere. I just like the letter V. But
I love when you talk about on the special that you know, you're Canadian and you immigrated to the UK, yet your daughter is a full-on Brit. And it's just kind of hilarious that you have a mother and daughter who are from two different countries.
I know. Well, I think that happens a lot. That's the thing about immigrants. You don't have to worry about our children being immigrants. They're all nationals. They just are from wherever they're born. My daughter's very, very English, corrects me all the time. She's like, You know, I kind of have like a potty mouth, as she calls it, and I'm a little bit Kenny Powers as a mom. But Violet's just, no, mummy, I don't think that's appropriate to say, actually. Oh, we'll be late for horse riding. You know, she's just a lovely little girl.
It's adorable. Now, you are not complimentary about your small town Sarnia in Canada. Do you exaggerate that for comedy, or is it as awful a place as you say in the special?
Well, I think that everyone has their own perspective. And some people are very happy in Sarnia. My dad is one of those people. He loves it. He's got this like little sailboat, lovely community of friends. Love Sarnia. I hated it like poison. I feel like it was just not suited to me. It's one of these towns that you, I don't know. I just needed to get out. I always knew I needed to get out. And we have a petrochemical plant there that is apparently very safe. But I mean, even as a 3-year-old, I was like, what? I don't know. It was very Aaron Brockovich to me.
And you and your sister are doing good.
Yes.
Okay.
I talk about my sisters, both my sisters in the special. One kind of gets it harder than the other one, only because she lives in the mountains and doesn't have access to internet. And
so
I knew she
can't
she
see,
wouldn't
it.
See it.
Yeah, okay.
It's fine. She doesn't care. She's very like at one with the universe and mm-hmm. she just makes clothes and lives in the woods. So, I mean, she's not upset. She'd never be upset. She's got more important things to worry about. Bear attacks. For
bears. One. Yes, exactly. Was it a, not that it matters because you follow your own passion, do what you want to do, but was there a lot of resistance from your family when you decided, hey, I want to be a comedian?
I didn't really decide to be a comedian. And I think I was really pragmatic in that I worked at Hooters for a start. So I had a really nice like nest egg from that. I was always a worker. I would work like 18 hours a day waitressing while I was in university. I went to university. I was just doing stand-up sort of as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And then when I moved to the UK, I had an office job. And I was so far away, they didn't really know what I was up to anyway. So when comedy started to take over and I started to do television and things like that, they didn't have access to British panel shows. They didn't really know what I was doing. They really didn't know until I got the Netflix special.
Have you talked to your parents? Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, Catherine's off somewhere. Yeah, they want to see Violet when they can. Once you have kids, they just don't care about you anymore. Yeah. They're like, when will you be visiting with the baby? And then give us the baby, and then we'll see you later.
Would it be such a surprise for them to visit you in London and see how well-known you are there?
They have done that a few times recently, and yeah, they're surprised because, I don't know, like women who are very glamorous on stage anyway, as I am, I always think, you know, it's a very great privilege to be invited into people's living rooms or even bathrooms if they're watching on the laptop. I don't know how they're accessing Netflix. I feel that it's a privilege, so I always make it a point to like dress up, do my hair, you know, come to work. I love it. But then in real life, I just look like a small ginger boy, I guess. So if I don't have makeup on, I don't get recognized. But if I do, my mom just thinks I have a lot of friends. She's like, oh my gosh, everyone in London knows you. You're very nice to people. No, I'm not.
While you're over here on Violet's summer holiday, you're doing the stand-up that we mentioned this weekend in Southern California. Are you gonna play elsewhere around the country? I mean, is this part of a plan to become more well-known in the United States as well?
I mean, I would just love to do comedy for the rest of my life. My phone case is the Golden Girls, and I just think that I'm so inspired by, like, older women who keep it going. I want to mm-hmm. be Betty White one day. I just want to work. I want to do comedy forever and ever and ever. And if that takes me to America, you know, I've done some weekends in New York. If people like my Netflix special, I get invited to tour more in America, I would be so, so happy to do that. But I guess you never know.
That's fantastic. Betty White should be all of our dreams, by the way.
Right? And we
really she has done it right in her life.
We need to celebrate her right now.
Yeah.
Yep. You're right.
She's magic.
All right, Catherine. So glad we got a chance to meet you. Super fun. We are such big fans. Have fun on stage this weekend, Comedy Store and the Improv. And let's hope we turned a few more people onto your Catherine Ryan In Trouble special on Netflix as well, all right?
Thank you so much.
See you next week. Guys, ready?
Yeah.
Ready to keep it 100?
99 Luftballons.
Maybe. Might be 99 Luftballons.
Not maybe.
Here's
definitely.
Well, then you better start texting because it's time now. We open up the phones about this time every Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can text us right now at 1-800-520-1067. The 100th texter with a request. Give us your name, what city you're from, and what song you want to hear. Any K-Rock song ever, and if we've got it, we'll play it for you and put you on the air to introduce it as well.
And the real German version, too, not that BS American really? English language one.
You know,
OG German 99
Luft
Balloons.
Via microphone, you've got to text it, Ralph, so pull out your phone, 1-800-520-1067. Here's a quick recap of the first 10 weeks of Keep It 100 on K-Rock.
And it's right here.
My name is Anna, now you're really me. I'm a nightmare, I'm a rock, lobster.
Whatever.
These pictures of you. I'm not taking hands at your door. If I'm the face inside, it's right underneath my skin. I get no doubt that I can only smash my picture.
Keep it 100.
1-800-520-1067. It's on you. We'll play your song coming up after the top of the hour.
99 Luft Balloons, Dark Things.
Ralph is here now. Time for another look at Showbiz Beat. And by the way, forgive me, Ralph. I should have mentioned this earlier. After Keep It 100, we talked to the great Stan Lee back on the
Stan the Man.
Yes, very excited. A lot of good stuff coming up.
It's going to be a big event at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills celebrating his life and legacy. And it's going to be quite the thing.
Yeah, for real.
Star-studded. We'll be talking about that and more with Stan. Has any one person, and I've said this many times, but has any one person been the source of more American mythology than Stan Lee?
No. I mean, do we need to say? I mean, people know we're talking about Stan Lee. We're talking about the guy who came up with freaking the X-Men and the Iron Man and the Hulk and Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four. Yeah, I mean, it's just, no one has created more legendary characters than Stan Lee. And he's amazing, and he still gets up and goes to work every day. He's 94 years old.
It's kind of crazy.
Incredible.
I would take a nap if I was him.
Right?
But not him. No napper, that's Stan Lee.
Mm-mm.
All right. We don't need another Munsters TV show. We don't need another Munsters.
Doesn't sound like you're asking.
I'm not asking. I'm telling.
You're telling us, okay.
But NBC has announced they're putting together another version of the classic 1960s situation comedy about a family of odd monsters living amongst us. And they would scare people. People are like, whoa, what's that big Frankenstein monster guy? He's carrying a lunchbox. He's acting regular. I'm frightened. Every episode.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Sounds like you're suggesting that may be,
we barely needed the originals, what I'm saying.
That may be outdated here in the 21st century.
It's not going to go well. They tried. They tried with Jerry O'Connell and Portia de Rossi and Eddie Izzard and Charity Wakefield like a year ago. And that did not work well. But they're doing it again. They're gonna move them from the California suburb of Mockingbird Heights to Brooklyn, New York, where they'll have to try to fit in with all the hipsters.
That's crazy.
Oh, they're made it current.
Most of the TV news I see coming out of Hollywood these days involves some sort of a reboot. You know, you saw those stories last week about NBC talking about bringing back The Office and, you know, talking about begging for The West Wing. And it just seems like nobody wants to come up with new shows anymore.
No.
Hey, what used to be on? Let's do that.
We are creatively bankrupt. It's over. Plus, I was always a Addams Family guy over a Munsters guy anyway. Those were two camps.
You had
your Addams Family fans and you had your Munster fans.
Hmm.
And I always thought the Munsters was dumb.
Which one snapped?
That was the Addams Family.
Okay.
That was cool. Addams Family was cool.
Yeah.
Capital idea, Fester!
Yeah.
And right? I made successful movie franchise out of the Addams Family. That already happened.
That franchise lends itself to reinvention. But not Frankenstein walking around.
Too much of a novelty, it sounds like you're saying.
Gimmicky. It's gimmicky, I say. Hey, that Britney Spears, she had a weird run-in on Wednesday night, didn't she? See that video?
Yeah.
Doing her show there at Planet Hollywood when some dude just jumped up on stage and did a front flip.
I just love funny people. Funny people are great, you know, and so hilarious.
Funny people are hilarious. Then he started to head towards Britney's backup dancers, and a crew member tried to get the guy off stage, but he started fighting back, and that's when Britney's dancers jumped in, and they beat the guy to the ground, and Britney was escorted off stage by security. They got the guy off the stage, and they turned him over to the authorities, and she came back and finished the show, to her credit. Well, lip sync the show.
Yeah.
The show, but
right.
Still a scary. It's going to be a scary moment when you're on stage and somebody comes up.
Absolutely.
Right? Didn't really look like he was heading towards her, though.
Yeah.
Like he just wanted to show off or something. I didn't know what was really going on. The video makes it hard to make out. Just saying.
It was weird.
No real joke there. Just interesting news. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Hemsworth is 34 years old today. Anna Gunn turns 49. Joe Rogan turns 50. Viola Davis, she's 52. She stars on the TV series
How to Get Away with Murder.
Murder.
Love it so much.
And wrestling legend Hulk Hogan celebrates his 64th birthday today. Hulkster, how are you going to celebrate that birthday?
I'm going to have a party, brother.
Gave him an hour to work on something, right?
I've given him four.
4 hours.
Yeah.
Really. Just since from the beginning of the show this morning, I've gone to him every hour.
You know, I feel like I've lost the magic, I guess.
That well is dry.
Yeah. You're like the Republicans. You had 7 years to come up with something to repeal or replace, and nothing came up dry.
You have to do better.
I'm a fail.
45 minutes from now, we'll see you. Talk to you then.
Okay.
99 Luftballons go by.
We're gonna find out coming up, Ralph. We'll see if you get your wish.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm not going to lie to you, Allie. I love this feature.
I love it, too.
And I'm telling you, as a result of seeing all these texts pouring in for the Keep It 100, we need to do this more often, and we need to do like an hour of it, because listeners are asking for awesome songs. Let me tell you the songs just around the 100th. Mm-hmm. And you tell me, there's no way we could have gone wrong with this one. Woman by Wolf Mother. God damn, I love that song. Would love to hear that again. That was number 99. Number 101, Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine,
Let's
everybody.
Let's go with that. Excellent. Well, play it, Mugs.
That's a great song, too. But we're doing right now, instead, Keep It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Let's say hi to Robert, Los Angeles. He was the 100th texter through this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Robert, what's going on, man?
Happy Friday, party people.
Oh, Robert.
Friday. Robert, very funny, first of all. What's going on? What's your Friday looking like? What are you up to?
Oh, I'm just getting ready for the weekend. Just going to hang out with some friends and have some fun.
Mm-hmm. Are you working today?
I am unfortunately working till 3 o'clock, yes.
What kind of job do you have, sir?
I'm an electrician.
Oh, see, smart man right there. No one gets electricians don't get laid off. That's the beautiful thing about electricians. You always are going to need electricians no matter what. So well done, sir. And you put a lot of thought into your text. How did you arrive at the conclusion that you know what song you want to hear?
Nothing says better Friday better than this, I think, you know.
All right. You want to introduce it here on K-Rock, Robert?
Absolutely. Adidas by Korn.
Yeah.
Keep it 100.
Somehow it always seems that I'm dreaming of something I could never be. It doesn't bother me, cause I will always be that pimp that I see in all of my fantasies. I don't know your name, so what? Let's screw in the bee. The only way that I can truly free from my reality, so I dream and struggle harder, cause it's so fun to see my face staring back at me. I don't know your name, so what? Let's hope
Not going to lie, it's been a while. That is Korn from the Life is Peachy album. If I remember correctly, 1996, maybe, I want to say. It goes back that far. Been a long time since I heard it. Great to choice, Robert from Los Angeles. Thank you so much for keeping it 100. We'll do it again next Friday here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, don't go anywhere. We'll talk to Stan the Man Lee coming up next on K-Rock. We have a lot of We're Not Worthy moments on this program, as you guys know, but never more so that when I look at the phone and see it's blinking and it's on hold and the great Stan Lee is on the line. He's a living legend is what he is. Writer, producer, actor. He's all things to everybody all the time, always, and it couldn't be more of a thrill every time we get a chance to catch up with Mr. Lee as he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Stan, how you feeling, buddy?
Okay, guys, good to talk to you.
You too, Stan. Just we're always amazed how hard you work there at POW Entertainment. You get up to work every day. Why, Stan? Why, with everything you've done, couldn't you just take some time and relax?
Well, because I don't really work hard. I go there, I do what has to be done. But what has to be done for me is fun. I like to write. I like to edit. I like to read what other people wrote. I love to look at the artwork. So when I'm working, I'm not really working. I'm playing. And you can't get enough play, so I'm playing all the time.
That's true. What is it you think that made you fall in love with comic books and has become this, you know, decade after decade love affair you have with the medium? What is it about them that you enjoy so much, Stan?
Well, that's a good question. I think the fact that the public responds to them so eagerly, if people love looking at pictures and people love reading good stories, and if you can combine a picture with a story, and it's the kind of story that people are interested in, it's like seeing a movie. In fact, Steven, I'll prove to you what a name dropper I am. Steven Spielberg once said to me, you know, Stan, you and I do pretty much the same thing, except my pictures move. And in a sense, it's true. A comic strip is like a movie, except the characters don't move. You move them in your own imagination.
Yeah. And then, of course, the challenge is when so many of your characters have then made the switch onto the big screen to continue to follow your vision. And you must feel so blessed that the team that they have over there at Marvel has been able to bring your characters to life in such a way that millions of people have fallen in love with them all over again.
You are so right. We are lucky enough to have the best filmmakers in the business working at Marvel and working on these particular characters. And they make the characters look even better than I made them look. I think I resent that a little bit, but that's okay.
Well, Stan, it starts with the written word, and your stuff has always been so great, and you're getting so many accolades lately. First of all, let's talk a little bit about getting your hands and feet print in cement in front of TCL Chinese Theater there in Hollywood. That must have been a hell of an experience.
Yeah, that was great, except I have a feeling they were trying to make it so that my hands and feet would stick and I wouldn't be able to leave. I went through before it got too hard.
Yeah, don't stick an old man in the cement. Come on. And then Ralph mentioned the accolades. This event that is coming up, the Extraordinary Stan Lee event on the 22nd of August, is unlike anything I've ever seen before because people can go and be there live to see an amazing tribute to you hosted by our friend Chris Hardwick. But it also is going to be beamed all over the country in movie theaters, too. What else can you tell us about the event as far as you know, Stan?
I think you know more about it than I do. I didn't know all of that was going to happen. It's going to be in movie theaters all over at the same time?
Yeah, it's going to be streamed live, Stan, so that people can see the actual event happening there at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills, and people will be able to see it in theaters nationwide. They'll be able to attend and see the thing as it's happening, which is pretty cool.
Does that change what you were going to wear?
Boy, we better make sure that that's going to be worth looking at. I better do a little rehearsing for that one.
Well, Stan, I know that you are a big fan of seeing yourself on the big screen. You've been in like 100 movies or something like that. So you're not mad at people having you on their movie screens that night, I'm sure.
Oh, not at all. But when you say I'm a big fan of seeing myself on the screen, I'm just a fan of anything that gets a laugh out of people. And when those cameos come up and I hear people in the audience start laughing and grinning, and that makes me feel great.
Yeah. The tickets are on sale right now, by the way, for this event that we've described, Extraordinary Stanley, August 22nd at the Saban Theater. You can go through Ticketmaster.com. There are two levels of tickets that you can buy. There's the general seats, and then there's a VIP seats with a meet and greet with Stanley himself, if that's been a lifelong dream for you. Ticketmaster.com. Again, the event is hosted by Chris Hardwick. We're actually going to give away some tickets here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now in honor of Stan's appearance. If you want to go to this event for free from K-Rock, you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take callers 20 through 24 right now.
I'm going to end this interview right now because I want to run to the phone and call you.
Well, you're already in. You're in, Stan. You're fine.
Yeah, you'll be there.
I want to get one of those tickets.
Let me ask you, while we have you on the phone, because I know here we are in August, you must already be working hard on putting together this year's Stanley Comic-Con, right? Coming up at the end of October. What can you tell us about that?
It'll be as good as every Comic-Con you've ever seen. I'm looking forward to it, but I look forward to everything. I was looking forward to this interview.
Oh,
I was keeping my voice as sharp as I could, and I told people, don't talk to me. I want to keep my head clear. This is an important interview. So I hope I'm doing okay.
You're doing great.
You're always doing great. Ralph, have you ever enjoyed a day as much as Stan Lee enjoys every day?
No, he's just a joy.
Yeah.
And Stan, do you get a kick out of talking to the fans still after all these years when people come up to you and tell you what your work has meant to them?
Oh, that's the best part of the whole thing, really. When people come up and kind of thank me for what I've done because it brought them pleasure, I cannot tell you what a thrill that is and how much it means to me.
Have you seen a lot of your creations and co-creations throughout the years tattooed on fans' bodies, Stan?
Well, tattooing is something that I'm not a big fan of personally, but if they want to do it and if they're using my characters, more power to them.
Yeah, and they should throw a little money your way, right? Because, geez, I mean, nothing's for free.
Yeah, give the drummer some. Exactly, right. All right, Stan, last question for me, and that is, and I think this is a miracle, at 94 years old, you are still every day looking for that next great superhero, right? You never stop thinking of and creating new characters, and that's amazing to me.
Well, you wake up in the morning, you have to do something. So instead of working, I think of new characters. Why not?
Why not? Why do nothing when you can change the world? Exactly. The Extraordinary Stan Lee is the event coming up at the Saban later this month on the 22nd. Go through Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. It's going to be a great, great night. And then we will see you down at Stan Lee's Los Angeles Comic-Con at the end of October, Stan. We'll get a chance to see you in person because we're going to be down there as well. So you keep doing what you're doing, man. Never stop, all right?
Okay, thanks a million, and it was great talking to you.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Stan.
People volunteer too much information about yourselves.
Just letting you know.
No one cares.
Okay.
Hey, guys, we got a bigger problem than
I mean, what really? Happened there, Mugs?
Do we have to?
Ducks fan Dave writes in, hey, now you guys can have a best-of show of just hanging up on celebrities. Well, David, it happened again, and we can't blame the monkey this time because Kevin's not here today. But nope. For some reason, Mugs is, I don't know, his ass is on fire. He's got somewhere to be. I can't imagine why. But he's not given Stan Lee 5 seconds to finish his thought and say goodbye. Could we hear the tape, please? So you keep doing what you're doing, man. Never stop, all right?
Okay, thanks a million, and it was great talking to you.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Stan.
The U.S. Open may be over, but the talk...
He's still talking.
Beer mug.
Nicest man in the world.
I think standing here, you automatically just start living vicariously through Kevin, and I didn't mean to do that.
He's channeling Kevin.
Or channeling Kevin. That's what I meant to say.
Okay. Yeah, you can't speak now, so apparently you are channeling Kevin.
See, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't mean
the English language.
I didn't mean to hang up on Stanley. He's a very, very nice man.
He's beyond that. He's a legend.
He's a legend.
He's a legend. He's a living legend.
He's a 94-year-old genius.
And
we're lucky to have had him on the show. And whatever he had to say was worth listening to.
I am Hydra. Not that we'll ever know, because we don't know what he had to say at the end there. He obviously was going to leave us with some very important final words. Could we hear it one more time, please, Muggs?
So you keep doing what you're doing, man. Never stop, all right?
Okay, thanks a million, and it was great talking to you.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Dan.
The U.S. Open may be over.
He's still talking when the commercial's on.
I am here.
Right?
I am here.
I was going to say, and I've got a great new idea for a superhero. And then now we don't know what it is.
Oh, I think he was just saying bye.
Now we've lost whatever pearl of wisdom he was going to give us.
I'm bad.
He better live long enough for us to talk to him again. That's all I'm saying. Otherwise, it's on you, man. That's unfinished business right there, because Stan wasn't done with us, even though you were done with Stan. All right. Well, let's try to regroup and move on with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning Kevin and... Excuse me, a Fri-yay morning Kevin and Bean show.
Son of a bitch.
What's going on, Ralph Garman?
How are people feeling about that?
Yeah, how's the poll?
How's your Twitter poll going? All whether right. people should say Fri-yay or not when it's Friday.
And I will source you, so don't lie.
All right. I would never lie. We just put it up about an hour ago. We have 506 votes already. Now, that may not be enough, technically, to get a determining factor on whether it's scientifically
accurate or
not.
I just voted.
What I'm saying is it may be too early for the final results.
76% of people say no.
Oh, thank God. There's still some sane people in this world.
So 3 out of 4 are not on board with me and the other Fri-yay folks. But you know what? There are a lot of ideas that come out of the gate, and they start slow, and then they catch fire.
You won the Electoral College? Is that what you're going to claim?
If that's what it takes, yes, it is. Yeah. So far, it's Fri-no more than it is Fri-yay. Okay. But beyond that, what else is
Selena
there?
Gomez. What was that weird little gasp?
Nothing. Go on. What's going on with Selena?
You know, she was dating DJ Zed for a while.
Right. She's with The Weeknd now, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he reveals in a new interview with Billboard magazine that dating her was way tougher than he ever could have anticipated because of her fame. He said reporters were calling his parents trying to get information about the couple.
Oh, dear.
I think that's when it really crosses over into problematic territory, is once those around you start getting harassed. It's
for
not,
sure.
You expect it for yourself. People were hacking into his friends' phones, they said, trying to get pictures and details. He had no idea how much her popularity would change his life, he said. So, don't date famous people, I guess, is the
Selena!
Moral answer.
Selena! That's what happens.
Miss Gomez, Selena!
That's your whole life if you're Selena Gomez.
God
is that?
Damn it! That guy. Bugging you.
And an endless supply of creepy.
Right? Looks like there may be trouble already for Rachel and Brian, the lovely couple that came out of this season of The Bachelorette.
They just we just saw them get together Monday night.
Brian got down on his knee again and re-proposed. Gave her that Neil Lane ring. But sources are telling OK Magazine in the UK that Brian watched the show, and now he fears maybe he won Rachel's heart by default because Peter and she broke up because he would not commit to her, and she was desperate for to have him do that. I
now,
guess it would give you second thoughts.
Certainly, yeah.
When you're watching a show and you watch her desperately want to be with this guy, and he says, no, I can't propose to you. So that ends their relationship, and then the next day she's like, oh, yes, I love you too, honey. Let's get married.
Well, and you realize the woman you're into only wanted to be proposed to. That's it.
It seemed to be her major goal, the major thrust of why she was there, yes.
Now, Ralph, if these had just been people in the wild, not on television, under the harsh scrutiny of the camera and the nation, don't you think that Rachel would have spent a little more time with Peter, and they probably would have gotten to that point where they would have both been ready to commit?
That was Peter's plan. More importantly, if they were real people in the wild, if someone ended a relationship with someone they wanted to get married to, she probably wouldn't accept a proposal from another dude the next day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I would take a little time off to sort of reevaluate and see what she really wanted in life and make some plans. So none of it rings natural.
Forgive me if you covered this Tuesday, but will Peter then be the next Bachelor?
There is no word yet.
Really?
We talked to Chris Harrison, actually. The day of the finale, and I asked him that question, if they were going to talk about who the next Bachelor is, and he said no. They've learned, with the success of having Nick come out of Bachelor in Paradise that they're going to wait until the end of that season, and then they're going to make their decision.
I see.
Because America might react to somebody over there on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah,
true.
And say, he's the guy we want to see.
So. Yeah, they could have a star in waiting. We don't even know it yet.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see. All right. That's Monday, by the way. Bachelor in Paradise.
Monday night.
We may need to break down who's going to be on. But it's so hard on that show because it changes every week. Somebody leaves and somebody new comes in every week. That's what's so exciting, because you think you found the love of your life, and then down the steps walks ba-boom, ba-boom, right?
Right.
And you're like, oh, whatever with you. I forgot she was alive.
And what do you win at the end of this?
I don't believe anything.
Yeah.
Love.
It's just love. A long just vacation love. And cocktails.
Love.
I like it.
And they just give you all the antibiotics when you get off the plane, right? I mean, they don't...
Everyone's tested before they get there, Bean. Oh, don't be a
okay.
fool.
I just was saying.
It was so funny. We did our parody of reality shows, the Joe Schmo Show. And for sake of...
use your words.
Yeah, I'm trying to think how best put it. For the sake of fooling everyone, to keep it on the up and up, to have people buy into the fact that
it
was a reality
show.
Yes, to make it seem authentic. We had to go through the process that everyone has to go through on those shows. And so all the actors had to be tested for STDs because they were going to be living in the house together.
Even Kristen Wiig?
I guess, yeah.
Even the one with the...
I think he's at all.
I think all is what I'm saying. Encompassing. Joe Newman, who played our deaf girl. She was brilliant. But everybody had to get tested. They come to your house and they run a panel on you.
I guess it makes sense.
Perfect sense.
Yeah.
You don't want to be living in a house with a bunch of people with the creepy crawlies.
Sure.
Ralph, how do we get that show back?
Oh, boy.
So good.
If you find a way, let me know. Ratings were not strong for the last season.
Really?
Yeah.
I enjoyed
Spike
the last
even exist
season.
Anymore. Spike doesn't even exist anymore.
We'll find it at home.
They're becoming what, Paramount Network? Aren't they going to be something else? I think Paramount Network.
I think so, yeah.
So, Paramount Network, if you're looking for programming, Allie McKay would like to see the Joe Schmo.
Built-in audience really for the Schmo fans.
A definite audience of one right there. Today's celebrity birthdays, I'd watch two. So two people. Beer Mug, would you watch?
Absolutely.
All right, there's three.
All
Paramount.
Right. Bean?
Get on it.
I would mean to,
busy,
but probably wouldn't get around to it.
I would need to take a walk to the Walmart.
Around the air conditioner.
And then I walked home. I haven't driven my car in a week.
That was a good story.
These are not good stories. These are the things that Bean talks about when we're not on the air.
We're out of time. Wrap it up, Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Hemsworth is 34 years old today. Anna Gunn is 49. Joe Rogan is 50. Viola Davis, star of...
How to Get Away with Murder.
He's 52 years old. And wrestling legend Hulk Hogan is 64 years old today. How are you going to spend your birthday, Hulkster?
I'm going to have some birthday, brother. Cake. Some cake. Cake me up for your birthday, brother.
It started so strong.
One line. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Yeah, you are, and yeah, you do. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with Strikers commercial free-for-all during your drive home today. That is going to be fun. Let me tell you about next week here on the Kevin Beach. Oh, I guess I don't have time now.
There's no way he could get it in time. You're like, what he needs
to
say.
Start
over? No, whatever. What the hell?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, this is sad now. It's just sad.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Merry Christmas, little baby.
Roll another one.
It's also a sexy audience.
Just like the other one.
That's what she said.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What is even happening?
I need another hit.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Young Money Militia, and I am the commissioner. They mad they ain't famous. They mad they still nameless. But we still hood famous. Yeah, we still hood famous.
Roll another one.
See, anyone's gonna lick anything.
Just like the other one.
I don't care. I hate you.
This one seems to be about.
This is honestly so stupid.
I don't have another cent.
Bye, Bing.
Bing, that's the end of that. You know, it's the only thing you can say.
But don't bogart that joint,
Yeah, I hear you believe in a lot of crazy stuff.
Just prancing around.
Professor Pippi P. Poopy Pants.
Well, don't bother to join my friend.
I hate Mars bars.
This game's in the refrigerator, the door is closed, the lights are out, the eggs are cooling, the butter's getting hard, and the Jell-O's...
On behalf of the American people, I want to say thank you. Thank you very much.
And I don't think our relationship can ever come back from this.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Eclipse.